Hello and welcome to Stop Motion. I'm Henry.
And I'm Leith.
And today we are going to be reviewing Saving
Saving
Private
Private
Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah. Good movie. Good movie.
Yep. Very good. You want me to tell you the plot?
It is directed by Steven Spielberg. And yeah, we have a great cast. We've got Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, Vin Diesel, just to name a few. So go ahead, Lathan, and tell us the plot.
The story opens with a prologue in immediate aftermath, in which a veteran brings his family to the American cemetery at Normandy, and a flashback then joins Captain John Miller, Tom Hanks, and GIs in a landing craft making the June 6, 1944 approach to Omaha Beach to face devastating German artillery fire. This mass slaughter of American soldiers is depicted in compelling, unforgettable 24-minute sequence. Miller's men slowly move forward to finally take a concrete pillbox on the beach littered with bodies. Is one of the bodies, one with the name Ryan stenciled on his backpack. Army Chief and Staff General George C. Marshall, played by Harv Prentzel, learning that the three Ryan brothers from the same family have all been killed in a single week, the surviving brother, Private James Ryan, played by Matt Damon, is to be located and brought back to the United States. Captain Miller gets the assignment and he chooses a translator, Corporal Upham, played by Jeremy Davis, skilled in language but not in combat, to join a squad of right-hand man Sergeant Horvath, Tom C. Sizemore, plus Privates Mellish, played by Adam Goldberg, Medic Wade, played by Giovanni Ribisi, Cynical Reuben, played by Edward Burns, from Brooklyn, Italian-American Carpazio, played by Vin Diesel, a religious Southerner Jackson, played by Barry Pepper, an ace sharpshooter who calls on the Lord while taking aim, having previously experienced action in Italy and North Africa, a close-knit squad sets out through areas still thick with Nazis after they lose one man in a skirmish at a bombed village. Some in the group begin to question the logic of losing more lives to save a single soldier.
All right, let's stop there because we don't want to give away the whole thing. Like, let's do it scene by scene. All right.
Yeah.
And so
that's just the overview.
Yeah, that's the overview. So it breaks out at the grave. It starts at the grave memorial. What were your thoughts on that?
It was very weird. It was a weird start to a movie for sure, but also I kind of enjoyed the. I didn't enjoy it. Obviously, it was a sad point of a. It was supposed to be a sad scene.
Yeah.
But it definitely started the movie to a great start.
I feel like it would have done it better. I feel like I understand that the reason they made the starting point was to set up for the epilogue, of afterwards, and there's a bit of mystery as to who he really is. Like no, like, but the way how they don't flash back to the graveyard until the very end kind of leaves the audience at like, oh yeah, that guy, and so there's no real surprise to it. It's a scene that could be done without, but still. But then it gets to probably one of the better scenes in the entire movie, the D-Day scene.
Oh, yeah.
The D-Day scene took a long time to film. I forget how long they did it. They didn't really have a script going into it. They just like let them loose on it. That's the way like epics
improv.
Epics like these were filmed. They had to have a ton of extras for this scene.
Well, it was a major part of World War II, so
it was.
A big army.
So they actually took, I believe it was the Irish National Army. Came in because they needed people that had like that knew how to fire a gun. Because like if there were actors that didn't know, it would just look sloppy. And they actually did that in Ireland because of Normandy's rules as to filming Normandy Beach. So it really was like a big task that Steven Spielberg undertook in making this work.
Yes.
Let's look at my notes. There was a lot of dark humor throughout that sequence. Like the one, like, do you remember when they stack up on the sandbank? There's a guy that Captain Miller looks over, and there's a guy who got shot in like the head. Like that, it
Yep.
hits his helmet, and he like takes it off and takes a look at it, and then he gets shot again in the head. It's like it's funny.
That's
It's funny.
it's
It's
funny,
just
but it's like,
really dark.
yeah, exactly. There's not.
And so like they've been moving up, and like right out of the gate, like right off of the boat, they're sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit, but they it shows Captain Miller like dazed and confused, which is something that they come back to through like
Well, yeah.
yeah. And it's like they talk about it, but they never really like solve it throughout, and so there's no real like progression in the character in that sense.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Then they blow the sandbank and they push up towards the pillbox, like, and they stay on the pillbox, but there's a machine gunner's nest. Do you remember that scene?
Vaguely.
So they push up towards the pillbox and like the bunker, and they have and then they send like and so Captain Miller sends some guys through, and then he sends Jackson through to take him out. And
Yes.
that was one of my favorite scenes, where Jackson takes aim and snipes out, like they snipe the guy out of the machine gunner's nest, which is awesome. He's one of my favorite characters for that scene and that scene alone.
Okay, yeah. No, I see why that would definitely be one of the best characters in the movie. Oh, okay, yeah. Continue.
And so then they clear the trenches, and that trench scene has to be a very pivotal point, because that's the first time where that was the first time that on D-Day that the Allies had the upper hand, like clearing the bunkers and stuff and the trenches. And so you see a scene where there's these two guys going, like they're running up, and they see a German. And they point the guns at him, and he like puts his hands up and speaking in German, and then one of the guys shoots him, and the other guy's like, "What did he say?" And he's like, "Please stop, I'm scared." And so Captain Miller sees that, and he's like visibly disturbed by that, and I think that really speaks to his character and how he's just a human on the inside. He's not a soldier.
Yeah. Another a very important scene relating right to Captain Miller's, like, I took quite a bit of notes on this scene, right into how Captain Miller is not a soldier, he is a human being. The dialogue from the scene is, "I am a school teacher. I teach English composition in this little town called Adley, Pennsylvania."
Yeah, that's
And he goes
later.
on. Yes, I know. But he goes on to talk about
Yeah.
his wife and how he doesn't care about saving Ryan. He cares about going home to his
Yeah,
wife.
and doing anything to get him closer to that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Will.
And then, yeah. Then there's this scene where Mrs. Ryan, like where they taught, where they're at this office, this military office, and there's voices. There's like America. There's like general voice. Like there's voices of men, like talking about like death letters to the families that are
Yeah.
affected. That was interesting because it shines a light on what happened, like some very obscure parts of like what women were doing back then, and it really speaks to how like back home, like because women weren't allowed to fight, like back home women pulled a lot of weight, like in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything on that scene where they talk about like three sons dying?
I really wish I did, but
Yeah, it's just an
it's
unremarkable
just a
scene.
very powerful scene in
Yeah.
the movie,
It's
for sure.
yeah. And so then my biggest problem, and I have to say this is a sidebar for a second, my biggest problem with this movie is that I just don't believe that there's anyone like that the United States Army would go and send out and the very best squad in a company, which is like at 4,200, like 4,200 men, I believe. They send like six, seven guys out to go on basically a mission to recover a body, which they think is out there, to get one guy or one body home. It just seems very.
I do find that, very, yeah, unrealistic for the for really any country to spend seven men to recover one, but also it's at that point in time it was all about the men in the family. So when you there's no one else left in that family,
I do.
It's really.
I do feel like from a political perspective, the United States had to do that because they would like move. Like wait, like they would move mountains to get like a family member, like their dead sons or live sons home if something extraordinary like that happened, so that public opinion on the war wouldn't shift because the government knows it's important, but they can't have government, they can't have the general public be against it because then they would like lose support for the war and they would have to pull out. So it was very, I feel like it might, like if they do have some reason to do it, but it's just not enough.
Yeah.
And so then Captain Miller gets his next assignment from the major to go to make his men. Do you remember that scene?
To collect the men that he wants to recruit for his team?
Yeah.
It was probably one of the calmer scenes in the.
It was a scene where they taught. It was a scene where it showed like the aftermath of Normandy and how everyone was just like sitting around and stuff. I thought that was really cool.
That was a very. A lot of these scenes were very powerful in the eyes of someone who definitely wasn't there, and it showed. It was great to keep it in short.
Yeah, and so then after that scene, that's where like they go and collect the men and Corporal Upham, which I'll get to in a bit because I'm not a very big fan of him.
You didn't like his character.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of him. And then. They're trekking through the French countryside to get to where they think he landed, and like the scene where they talk about like the gripe, like griping. Do you know that scene?
Yep.
Do you have any notes on that?
They talk about
gripes, like gripe, like where Captain Miller's talks about gripes.
Oh, not. That I didn't find as
important.
This probably will be a very controversial idea, but I didn't find that as compelling as a lot of the other.
It's not compelling. It's just a very good scene because Saving Private Ryan's a bit of an epic where it's a bunch of guys and it's just like heart throbbing, emotional, like fast paced, like action. Whereas that's a more chill scene, and they talk about how. Like how they just talk about normal things like normal humans, and it puts a different spin on them.
I see.
And so
that
now we get to the scene where I'm sure you have some talking, you have some points about the rain, like the town in the rain where they get the small village that was being hammered.
Let me just find that. Well, this is really awkward. But
you don't?
I do not have notes, but I do remember that scene very clearly. If you can start us off with that, and I can probably take over.
So
from
it
there.
Starts off with I believe there was a bunch of army guys, and they were pinned down against a wall. And it was raining, and they're like, "Oh, thank God for reinforcements." And Captain Miller's like, "I'm sorry, we are not the reinforcements that you're here for." And yeah, and so he's like, dang it. And so they like hold against the wall, and they hear and you hear and throughout the scene you hear German speaking on the loudspeaker, and they're like, who's that? And they said the friendly, and they're like the friendly neighborhood propaganda man. And so then they flank around to the side, and they reach a torn building that's like torn in half, and there's a family, and there's a family of three in there, I believe. And Caparzo, played by Vin Diesel, goes up, and he takes a small child from them, and like everyone's against it, and he holds on to it for a time while they're just sitting there against the wall because there's a sniper. And then eventually, and so then he gives him to Corporal Upham, and he like moves to the other like side of the street, and he gets shot by the sniper.
Yes.
And then he's like lying there, and at that point, they have Jackson, Private Jackson, move up, and shoot the sniper, where he shoots the sniper right through the eye, which is like another great sniping scene by Jackson.
Jackson is probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I find that those scenes are always the most hectic, but also the most, like nice to watch, very pleasing at the same
Yeah.
time.
Yeah, I do. Like, it's just a good scene. And then they're like relaxed for a bit, and they go into this chamber, like this like courtyard, I think. And they're like, all right, let's just wait here and like rest up for a sec. And one of the guys sits down, and he sits on like this wooden beam, and the wooden beam smashes into the wall, and the wall falls down. And then on the other side of the wall reveals the Germans, like a bunch of Germans, and everyone's just they're up there, and they're shouting at each other, and for like what it seems like forever, but it's only like 30 seconds. And then Captain Miller and the other captain spray the Germans down.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's I guess it's a lesson that who shoots first wins. So
I
yeah.
guess, yeah. But that's, I feel like that's a common fact,
Yeah, yeah,
realistically.
yeah. That's also by far the best scene in the entire movie. Like, I love that, like, one snippet right there.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
So next, so what is your so what do you have next? What's your next notes? What scene do you have notes on next?
The next scene is when we're getting near to Rommel.
Rommel. When you
When he decides to neutralize, Miller decides to neutralize the machine gun.
yeah, for like I want to backtrack for just a second and go to the fallen. So the reason they go to Rommel is because like they're going through the forest, and they come across this plane that's torn down, and they see it as like a mini field hospital, and so they hang out there for a while. And yeah, they're talking to the pilot and stuff, and the pilot's like, here, I have a bunch of dog tags, why don't you go and look through them? And so they're looking through them, and the airborne division, which is Ryan's division, Private Ryan's division, is walking past, and
Yeah.
Wade is walks on, and it's like,
To the
hey, and they like
paratroopers.
put him away, and it's like, hey, this is like those are their friends and stuff. And so yeah, they're not here. And so then Captain Miller, being really embarrassed by that, goes out into like the where the like the paramilitary troopers are walking, and he's like asking for Orion. And then they meet this guy who had his ear, like a grenade placed by his ear, and so he can't like hear properly. He's like, do you know if they're
Doesn't
Private Ryan?
yeah he learns
Yeah.
that Ryan's defending a bridge.
Yeah, a biz jet Rommel. And so they're heading towards Rommel when they come across a machine gunner nest.
Yeah.
So take it away. What do you have notes on that for? Like, what are your notes?
Well, a big part of that was Wade being killed
Yeah.
in the process of trying to take down to neutralize that machine gun,
And
and
they
that
do.
was they do obviously neutralize it, or they wouldn't be able to pass. But Miller, they also take a
Hostage or a
hostage,
POW,
and
and they Miller lets him go, I believe, right?
yes, but not very easily. Upham was urging him to execute him the entire time.
Uh-huh.
And Miller just doesn't have the
guts.
No, I wouldn't say guts. I think he has more of a moral code to not just execute someone.
And someone, and I forget who it was, he's like he's really sad about Wade dying, and he wants to leave. Who's that? It was
Reuben.
Yeah.
He declares his intention to desert.
Yeah, he wasn't deserting, and so then to cut the
he's not. Tension. I don't think he's sad about Wade dying. I think he's more sad about
the mission.
I think he's losing confidence in Miller. Leadership.
I do feel like it was I think it was the objective at hand, because they were going to find this guy that they don't even know if he's alive. Well, they do at that point, but it's just he thinks it's a really stupid idea, and so he's like, let's just turn back now and we can get out of here. But Miller sticks to his guns, and so they get things escalate with the sergeant pulling a gun on Reuben and threatening to shoot him, and then to cut the tension.
So then it leads up to the scene where I was talking about earlier about him being an English teacher and having a wife at home.
Yeah,
and that's how he diffuses that situation.
It's very important. It's important to the story, and it's very important to these guys, because there's a plot on where he's from, where the captain is from, and no one really knows. And it was getting $300, which is much more back then than it is now. Yeah. And so it really diffuses the situation. So good on Captain Miller for that. And then
he knows how to defuse the situation, obviously.
And so then they get to Rommel, and they find,
Ryan among a small group of paratroopers.
They talk about, and so really the only good scene part about that, I think, is the is where Captain Miller tells them how they're gonna do it, how they're gonna protect them by using sticky grenades, which is compound D in a sock with axle grease on it, and it sticks. And how they set up for the trap and stuff. So
it's not just sticky grenades. He devises a plan. Mm-hmm. I have notes here. He says he devises a plan to ambush the enemy with two 30 caliber guns, Molotov cocktails, anti-tank mines, and improvised satchel charges made from socks.
Yeah.
As you were saying, sticky grenades.
I don't have a lot of notes on this scene because I feel like the ending scene was too sad, because a lot of people
with Miller dying.
Yeah. With not just Miller dying.
Last stand, as I call it.
But just Jackson dying.
Okay. Do you want me to read it out? I have a normal paragraph on it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there are two SS Panzer division, which is the tanks, arrive with two Tiger tanks as well, and two Martyr tank destroyers, all protected by German infantry. Although they inflict heavy damage on the Germans, nearly all the paratroopers, along with Jackson, Mellish, and Horvath, are killed.
Mm-hmm.
Upham is immobilized by fear, and Miller attempts to destroy the bridge. Miller gets shot by the freed German prisoner, so obviously...
Who was picked up by his...
should have killed him.
Who was picked up by his German... by a German battalion, but that's just implied.
From the radar station.
Yeah.
So obviously... Big mistake from his moral code did not save him there. Probably just killed him.
I thought about that. I actually thought about that, and I was like, you know what? He was the one who did it, but I do feel like if it wasn't him, someone else would have. So it doesn't really matter as much.
I don't know, because he was he was a sharpshooter at that point, right?
It was. Go on. You can continue.
So when he does this, he crawls to retrieve the bridge detonator and fires ineffectually and defiantly with his pistol at an oncoming tank. This part of the scene was very, like, I was ready to exit the movie at that point because I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah.
I found it very, very, like, upsetting that he was going to die there. Like, you had gotten quite close to Captain Miller. You had seen...
Yeah.
You knew his backstory, so it just felt very untimely. Hard. It was very hard to watch.
A very untimely death, yeah.
Yeah. So, as the tank reaches the bridge, an American plane flies over and destroys the tank. That was a huge sigh of relief for me.
Uh-huh. And then Corporal Upham takes at least five German prisoners. The prisoner that they took before says Upham, and he like recognizes him, and Upham shoots him, killing him, and that being good. Upham's first casualty. And then Upham goes and sees Miller, who is dying in Private Ryan's arms, pretty much, with
Reuben and Ryan.
With Reuben nearby.
Yeah, who dies from his injuries, not from anything else. And then the scene slowly transitions to the present, where Ryan is revealed to be the veteran from the beginning of the film.
Yeah, like that's a good way to end. That's a good way to end the movie.
I found that very.
It ties the movie down a little bit, but I still feel he could have done without that first scene, and it still would have had the effect that it did have. It just felt like.
Well, the first scene actually, I find. This is contradicting your point, but I find the first scene actually ties it all together very nicely.
Yeah.
At the end ties everything together. You're wondering the entire time, who is that veteran staring? Maybe it's his brother. Like, who knows? And then you find out it's.
I'm not saying that it wasn't a good way to end it off and tie it all together, because it is. I'm just saying that he could have done without it. And it still would have had the same effect, if not better effect, because it just seems like it was tacked onto the runtime, and like you don't when I first watched it, I was like, you don't really remember him. You're like, oh yeah, that guy, I forgot about it, because there's so much that happens in between.
Very true.
Yeah, and so now let's. Yeah, that's basically it. What do you rate that? Like, what is you? Where this is the point?
Rate
where
the film like at a star.
Or 10. Way, we do out of 10.
Okay. Well, this is on the spot, but I would definitely say it's a great movie. Maybe an 8.75.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like a 10, obviously, because that's really hard to reach.
I would say a 9. I would say a 9.
It's just that good of a movie that it can be there.
Yeah.
Without anyone it's contradicting a great
movie.
It.
It's a great movie, and the reason I love the movie so much is because you tell someone it's a great movie and they're like, "Oh yeah, can you like what's it about?" And you're like, "Technically it's about World War II and like these guys going to find this guy, but it's really about much more than that. There's so many underlying plots."
It's about like how the soldiers like their lives at war. And
and how it affects every one of them.
Yeah, and that last scene also ties into that thing, because at the very end of the film, you see Ryan saluting Miller's grave, and he didn't know Miller for long,
but he still felt
saved his life.
Yeah, but he still felt like in debt.
Very connected to him.
Yeah. All right, so Laith, I'm going to give you the honor of signing off. So.
Okay.
So
don't we want to announce our next week's film?
Oh shoot! Yeah, I totally forgot about that. So wait, I did this week. This week was my pick, and so next, so you get to pick the film for next week.
Okay. This is gonna be on the spot.
All right. Okay.
But no, you can pick again. I haven't actually.
Okay.
Thought of it.
So, this upcoming
week, I enjoy your movies anyway.
We are going to be watching The Matrix, the first one.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Great movie.
Okay.
So
this has. Do you want me to do the ending?
How about we? All right. I want to kind of like. I think we should make a like sort of a podcast thing, and so you should be like, and so let's have you say from all of us here at Stop Motion. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, I'll say it now.
All right. Hi, Henry here with just a quick note. We are on Instagram at stop_motion_podcast. So go check us out, and thanks for listening.